Well, we are in a series that we have called The Conflict of Faith and Culture. As Christians, we are unique in this world. We live with one foot in our culture, in our country, and we live with one foot in the next world. We are citizens both of this country and citizens of heaven. Sometimes those kingdoms come in conflict with each other. That happens, for example, when our country passes laws that come into conflict with the Word of God, or when our country tolerates and even endorses certain practices that are contrary to the Word of God. And when that happens, and this is the angle we're taking on all this, when that happens, people look at us to see how we are going to respond. And the question that people ask is, the question we are asking in this series, I should say, is how do people see us when they look at our lives? When we take a stand against abortion, how do they see us? When we take a stand against the homosexual agenda, how do they see us? Many times, what they see in Christians is not a good representation of the Christian life. I'm reminded of the gentleman out in the Midwest who always wore the cowboy hat and always protested at the funerals of our soldiers with messages that were vile and mean and hateful and call himself a Christian. And they look at us and they lump us into that with him because we call ourselves Christians. And we need to live in such a way that they see a difference between us and him. So far, we have looked at the fact that some people outside of our faith see us as judgmental people. We're always making judgments against what we don't like. Some people see us as hypocrites. Some people see us as easily offended. Some people see us as uncaring. I'm going through this because I haven't been here in 3 weeks, and we need to get caught up here. Today I want to talk to you about Christians as intolerant. I know you don't see yourself that way. You might think that you have a good reason for every position that you take, for every stand that you take on controversial issues in our culture. But we're not asking in this series how you feel. We're asking how they feel about you. And there's a difference. It's important how our culture sees us as Christians. And here's the reason it's important. Because how they see us will determine whether or not they listen to us when we talk about Jesus. If they see you as judgmental and as a hypocrite and as uncaring, they're never going to listen to your words. If they see us as intolerant people, they don't care what you have to say. I want to read to you from an article with the title, American Christianity Has Become an Institution of Intolerance. This is going to rattle some of you. Don't get mad at me, please. I'm just telling you what's out there. Listen to it. Countless American Christians spend thousands of dollars traveling to impoverished countries on missions trips. Boy, this hit me this week because what did I just do? Taking photos of themselves surrounded by locals and participating in numerous service projects, reminded of their wealth and privilege, these parishioners will return to their churches and report on the inspiring faith of those who live in squalid conditions and pay lip service to serving the least of these. But once back in America, these very same Christians will adamantly oppose having foreigners as neighbors, loathing the idea that they could possibly be allowed to cross into the border of the United States seeking a better life. So while they post pictures on social media of themselves surrounded by poor children and holding babies they personally cared for, they'll post nothing about the children and babies being separated from their parents at the border. Instead, they'll share rants about the morality of following government-sanctioned laws and reiterate the importance of national security. Meanwhile, they'll join their congregations and worship a God they claim has lavished unwarranted grace, mercy, and forgiveness and love upon them, singing lyrics like, "I couldn't earn it and I don't deserve it, still you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God." These same worshipers regarding immigrants, refugees, and foreigners say they didn't earn it, they don't deserve it. Praise songs will continue to be sung in honor of a Savior whose own family fled to Egypt as refugees. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. But regarding non-Americans who dare to imagine saving their own families by creating a new life in America, ban them, deport them, build the wall. That hurts. It might even offend you. But that is how some people see us. That rather long quote was not taken from some ranting liberal magazine or blog site. It was taken from a Christian magazine. One, admittedly, that's a little more liberal than you and I, but nevertheless, not from a place that hates Christians, but from a place that claims to be Christian. If I can get you just for a moment to put aside your emotions and the political heat, I think you realize some truth in what that individual said. So I want to talk to you this morning about tolerance and intolerance, because that's how some people outside the faith see us, as intolerant. And I want to talk to you from the Word of God today. I want to give you four things that I think should guide this discussion. I want to be careful how I use terms this morning, because the words you use can mean one thing to you and another thing to someone else. And in this particular discussion, I think that's true. In another article entitled, "Is Christianity Intolerant?" this one from a more conservative Christian source, the writer points out the importance of terms in this discussion. And he says this: the word tolerance has shifted greatly in meaning over the years. The traditional old school definition of tolerance is to recognize and respect and value the other person regardless of whether his or her views differ from your own. The modern idea of tolerance is quite different because it doesn't make a distinction between a person's belief and the person's dignity. If I say that I disagree with your view on religion, morality, marriage, etc., and I try to show you why this viewpoint is flawed, I'm attacking you as a person. And it's unfortunate that that's what's happened in our culture. But that is where we are today, and we have to deal with where our culture is. So I want to use several different terms this morning, and the first point I want to make is the Bible is exclusive. No question about it. The Bible is exclusive. I didn't use the word intolerant. What I mean when I say the Bible is inclusive, exclusive, is that there are absolutes in the Bible. You can call them non-negotiables. These are things that are not open to discussion. They are not open to change. Let me give you a couple of examples. All people are sinners. That is an absolute in the Word of God. It is a non-negotiable. Another one, the wages of sin is death. That's a non-negotiable. That's in the Word of God. You can't change it. Not open to debate. The biggest non-negotiable is probably that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. That was our service this morning. Jesus himself said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no one, no one comes to the Father except through me. That is a clear absolute in the Bible. It's a non-negotiable. Years ago in my previous church, we had purchased land from an old gentleman who, very, very interesting, he was in the German army in World War I. His name was Henry Gramlich. Henry got shot in the neck, captured by the Americans, and put in a prisoner of war camp. You know what he said to me? I was treated so well as a prisoner of war, I vowed that when I got out and the war was over, I was moving to America. Can you believe that? And he did. And he bought this land, and eventually our church bought it in three different parcels from Henry, about 10 acres. And the last parcel we bought was his home, and we gave him lifetime rights to live there. And Henry used to go to the Baptist church, the Methodist church, and other, I don't know how many other churches. And Henry would say to me, well, Pastor, you know, all roads lead to Rome, and all religions go to heaven. And no matter what I said, I couldn't convince Henry otherwise. All religions do not lead to heaven. One of the problems that we face is that so many people today don't believe in absolutes, or they say they don't. What's right for you may not be right for me. We all get to choose what we want to believe. You know what the fundamental problem with that view is? That saying there are no absolutes is itself an absolute statement. So they defeat their own argument when they say there are no absolutes. It denies the very premise of what they want to prove. And beyond that, it doesn't make the absolutes go away. You can deny that it's raining outside in a torrential downpour. It doesn't make the rain go away. You can deny that there are absolutes in life. It doesn't make the absolutes go away. We live with them every day. We have absolutes in the laws of nature. Gravity is an absolute. If you want to test it out, go up in a little airplane and jump out without a parachute. And you will quickly learn that gravity is an absolute. Denying that gravity exists does not mean that it will go away. We have absolutes in our legal system. If you murder someone, there's going to be consequences. Now, it can be different consequences in different places, different countries. But if you murder someone, there are consequences. That's an absolute. We have absolutes in everyday life. Here's one. If you never eat food again, you will die. That's an absolute. Try it. We'll have your funeral right here. We deal with absolutes all of the time. You don't want to live in a world where there are no absolutes. It would be a disaster. And there are absolutes when it comes to the spiritual realm. God has established some things that are true and that will always be true in every time, in every circumstance. And in those areas, the Bible is exclusive. Jesus is the only way to God. The second thing that I want to share with you is the Bible, and therefore Christianity, is not intolerant. This is true if you use the word tolerance in its right meaning. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, tolerance means sympathy or indulgence for beliefs or practices differing from or conflicting with one's own. Boy, is that different from the news cycle today. If somebody believes different from you, if they espouse something that's different from you, you send out tweets. You holler, you scream, you say all kinds of nasty things. Tolerance is having sympathy or indulgence or patience or respect for beliefs or practices that are different from mine. Let me repeat a quote that I read just a minute ago from the article, "Is Christianity Intolerant?" The traditional old school definition of tolerance is to recognize and respect and value the other person regardless of whether his or her views differ from your own. That isn't just the old school definition. That is the dictionary definition. That's what the word means. And using that definition, the Bible, and therefore Christianity, is not intolerant. In fact, Christianity is the opposite of intolerant. One of the clearest passages in the Bible that talks about our relationship with those who oppose us, with those who are different from us, with people we don't agree with, is Romans chapter 12. And you need to go back and read verses 14 through 21 again. It says, we are to bless people who oppose us in verse 14. We are not to get revenge on people, verse 17 and 19. We are to live at peace with all people, verse 18. We are to respect even our political enemies, verse 20. We are to overcome evil with good, verse 21. That's tolerance. Christianity values people like no other religion. Again, from the article, is Christianity intolerant? There is no other worldview which places as much value on a human person, because only in the Judeo-Christian worldview do we believe every person is made in the very image of God Himself. The Christian faith, when lived the right way, can I put a little caveat here? The Christian faith, when lived in obedience to the Word of God, is not intolerant. And that leads us to the third point I want to make this morning. We are to be faithful to the Bible. This is an area that can easily get us in trouble with people in our culture. Again, a quote from, is Christianity intolerant? If I am convinced that the Bible is true and that Jesus is the only way to God as the Bible says He is, and I go to my friend and say plainly, Jesus is the only way to God, I do so at great risk. I am fully aware that this could damage our friendship. I'm fully aware that I could be perceived as intolerant. When it comes to the truth of the Bible, we have to be faithful to what the Bible teaches, even at the risk of appearing to be intolerant. Faithfulness to the Word of God has to supersede everything else in our lives. So at the risk of appearing intolerant, we have to tell people about Jesus. The article goes on to say, if I didn't care about the person, why would I tell him that Jesus is the only way to God? Why the drama? But I do care. I care very deeply. I am disturbed that this valuable human being, this image bearer of God, is living a life completely unaware of the joy of knowing the love and saving power of Jesus Christ. Even at the risk of appearing intolerant, we need to tell people about Jesus. The fourth thing that I want to share with you is that we are to be tolerant of people. That is, we are to respect people, even when they disagree with us. When you understand tolerance as recognizing and respecting and valuing the other person regardless of where their views differ from your own, and when you understand that the Bible teaches the value of each person because they were created in the image of God, then you will understand that we are to be tolerant people. We are not to be tolerant of sin, but we are to be tolerant of sinners. Even when we disagree on religious issues, even when we disagree on political issues. When the world sees us as intolerant, and sometimes we deserve that, and they often see us that way, we need to make sure that they see us as intolerant for the right reasons. Not because we oppose immigration, not because we oppose abortion, not because we oppose the homosexual agenda, but because we stand for Jesus and for truth. And in standing for Jesus, we speak the truth of the Word of God. Not in a mean way, not in a demeaning way, but in a kind and loving way. Sometimes unbelievers see us as intolerant people, and sometimes we deserve that label. And when that is true, listen, when that is true, we need to change. But sometimes when they see us that way, it's not justified. And they see us as intolerant because we speak the truth. In that case, we need to make sure, as Paul said in Ephesians 4:15, that we speak the truth in love. Let's make sure that if we are accused of being intolerant people, that it's not because of who we are and what we have said and how we have acted and what we have done. Let's make sure it's because of who Jesus is. It's not easy being labeled as intolerant. We like to think we're not, but sometimes we are. Let's make sure that it's only because we're speaking the truth of the Word of God and not because of some political position we take or because of that's what our party says or because we don't like something. If you go out this morning and you have the view that every person you meet, even those who oppose you politically, were created in the image of God, they are image bearers of God. And you need to treat them as image bearers of God. They have value in the sight of God. Then I think we can turn the tide from the world thinking we're intolerant people to thinking we're loving people. It's not an easy message, especially in the political climate in which we live today. But can I tell you this? You are a Christian before you're a Republican. You're a Christian before you're a Democrat. You're a Christian before you're an independent. We need to start acting like Christians and not like Republicans, not like Democrats, not like independents. Some of you are not going to like this message. Please don't take it personal. But it is true. Father, help us to represent Jesus well. Help us to not only be image bearers of God, but help us to reflect the image of God. So when people look at us, they see Jesus. Lord, for those times where we have done things, said things, acted in a certain way, and people have said that we're intolerant, forgive us for that. For those times that we have been faithful to the Word of God, we have expressed the love of God, we've told people that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and they've said we're intolerant. Lord, we do not apologize for that. We are standing on the truth. We pray that you would take those words spoken in love and work in hearts and lives and change people. Bring them to Jesus Christ. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Next Sunday, we'll finish up this series, and then we'll start a new series. We're going to look at the life of King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. There are some really interesting lessons that we can learn that will benefit our own lives from King Hezekiah. And so I want to encourage you to come out for that series and learn a little bit from an Old Testament king. Men would